Please join me in prayer. Lord God, we know from your word in the book of Hebrews that your word is alive and it's active, cutting more incisively than a two-edged sword, seeking out where soul is divided from spirit, discerning even the secret thoughts and intentions of the heart. May it be so with us this morning, individually and collectively as a church. Amen. We're continuing along our wayfare through the Word, and we find ourselves in the book of Hebrews. And I need to share this morning, Hebrews is one of the most encouraging books in all the Bible. I can personally vouch for this in my own life. Pouring over these 13 chapters of Hebrews this last week, it lifted my faith and it sent my spirit soaring when I was in a time of need. The book of Hebrews mentions faith more than any other book in the New Testament. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 is the very famous chapter that we're about to hear from it. That chapter alone mentions faith 24 times. This famous chapter, chapter 11, it contains the Hall of Faith, which includes some of the most lofty and eloquent words in all of Scripture about the ancient heroes and heroines of the faith. We're to emulate these legendary inductees to the Hall of Faith, recounting and observing and remembering their deep trust in God in the face of near-death experiences, in disappointment and uncertainty and ambiguity in life. Something that sets these giants of the faith apart was their 20/20 spiritual perception. To see the future with the eyes of faith and then to act faithfully with that knowledge and trust. Their living example that we still learn from today, it encourages us to keep believing, to keep moving forward toward that heavenly country along our pilgrimage of faith here on earth that each of us are on. But also, Hebrews challenges us to have not only the eyes of faith, but the ears of faith, where we hear that great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on, all believers through the ages who have finished their earthly pilgrimage. They're cheering us on so that one day we too might join them. Now, the author of Hebrews doesn't so much give us a Webster's dictionary definition of faith as it does describe what faith looks like in action. Faith in the book of Hebrews is a verb. And so it involves such things as endurance, trust, and obedience. Faith isn't just an intellectual thing. Faith is a gift from above, but it is a gift to be opened and to be used. Faith is to be practiced in our daily living. It's to be enacted. Faith is a courageous leap into the unknown. Faith possesses in the present what God has promised for his people in the future. Faith savors that little small taste of heaven, that little Costco sample of heaven that we can enjoy on earth, even when life is hurting like hell. Faith is the confidence that God's redemptive purposes and his promises will be carried out come heaven or high water. When we step out in faith, the unseen becomes seen. The invisible becomes visible. The act of faith helps make the future become the present. And so we are a people, Emmanuel, who walk by faith, not by sight. We believe that what is promised will eventually come to pass, even if it's just from a distance or fulfilled in our next life. So let's hear now the word of the Lord from selected verses from Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. In the book, The Little Prince, who's read the Little Prince? Okay. By Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. I think I pronounced the French right. It is the fourth most translated book in the world. It's been translated into more than 250 languages. It sold over 140 million copies and counting. It's one of the best-selling books of all time. Netflix came out with an animated version of it just a couple years ago. Now, there's a famous scene where a fox meets the young prince during his travels on the earth. And at this point, the little prince is lost in the desert. He's exhausted, he's defeated, he's confused, and he's feeling utterly insignificant. He scales a large mountain and he sees the vast vista and landscape before him. He cries out, but he only hears the echo of his voice. The little prince finally just, he lays down and he weeps bitterly, crying tears of hopelessness and loneliness. But then a fox comes along and the two strike up a friendship. The fox's presence and his wise words are a great source of comfort for the little prince. But eventually the two have to part ways. And before saying goodbye, the fox offered the gift of a secret to the boy. The essence of the story can be found in the words whispered by the fox. One sees clearly only with the heart. What is essential is invisible to the eyes. You see, that's exactly what the book of Hebrews is talking about. Seeing with the heart. The conviction of things unseen. You see, faith helps us to get a grip on what we can't see. Faith is both realistic and it's hopeful at the very same time. Even when things in your life are just plain lousy. This is possible because faith is the opposite of control and certainty. Faith frees us up to give up control and to give it to God and to trust. To give God the remote control of our lives and to entrust to God our circumstances, our lives, other people's lives to God. You see, faith trusts. It's a relationship word. Faith trusts that God is going to work all things out for the good, even if the good things that God is doing is very different than what we initially envisaged. Faith, it's got an as if or a nevertheless component to it. Faith lives as if the things hoped for are real. Now, this doesn't mean that faith is naive or it's fanciful. Faith, it's not living life with rose-colored glasses. That's not what Hebrews is talking about. Instead, faith honestly assesses life's challenges, but it doesn't stop there. Faith then says, nevertheless, despite all that's going on in my life right now, I am still trusting in God. I'm living as if the unseen is seen. Now, current research in the cognitive sciences, they seem to actually back this up. It appears that our brains, with the knowledge that we have, at least right now, are hardwired for faith. The way that the brain works, doing comes before thinking, and doing becomes being. In other words, you don't change your character in your life or your conduct by thinking differently. Rather, you change your character and your conduct by acting differently. Action comes before thought. Do you want to feel sad in your life? Well, turn your mouth down. You'll start feeling sad soon. If you want to feel upset, frown a lot, and you're going to feel upset. Do you want to feel happy? Smile a lot, and soon the feelings are going to follow. You want to feel determined? Kind of grit your teeth and clench your fists. It's going to make you feel more that way. There's something to be said for the motto, fake it till you make it. But as Christians, we kind of tweak that one a little bit. As Christians, we say this, faith it till you make it, and then keep on faithing. Our actions create our feelings. Shakespeare knew about this 500 years ago. In Hamlet, he said this, assume a virtue if you have it not, for use almost can change the stamp of nature. In other words, it's easier to act yourself into a new way of feeling than to try to feel yourself into a new way of acting. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, the author of Hebrews lists a litany of those throughout biblical history who lived by faith, or they did it. Because they never stopped believing, even when things got difficult, God's promises became present and real in their lives in this world, even if they only saw it from a distance, but it was there. By faith, we read, that Abraham obeyed God, and he left the comforts of his old homeland, and he set out for an unknown place. By faith, Hebrews tells us, Abraham and his family stayed in this new land even when they had to live as temporary tent-dwelling foreigners. By faith, both Abraham and Sarah believed God's promise of a child in their advanced years, and they lived with the sure hope of descendants that would be as many as the stars in the heavens. You see, living life according to faith, in God's presence with us and God's promises to us, means that we're not in control, but we are in God's care. One of my all-time favorite novels is Daniel Defoe's Robinson Crusoe. Anyone read it? It's assigned in school classes. It wasn't in mine, but I read it as an adult, and I love it. I love it. When the shipwrecked Crusoe starts assessing his situation, that he's shipwrecked and he's the only one left, he begins to despair utterly. He was completely alone, had virtually no chance of anyone finding him on this desolate island and being able to return to civilization. Now, finally, in order to avoid sliding into a paralyzing self-pity and hopelessness, Crusoe began to set the good against the evil in his life, saying that I might have something to distinguish my case from what's worse. And so the stranded man began to make a careful list of goods in his life and evils that he was facing on this island all alone. And so this is an excerpt from the book. Evil. I am cast upon a horrible, desolate island, void of all hope and recovery. Good. But I'm alive and not drowned as all my ship's company were. Evil. I am singled out and I'm separated, as it were, from all the world to be miserable. Good. But I am singled out, too, from all the ship's crew to be spared from death. And he that miraculously saved me from death can deliver me from this condition. Evil. I'm divided from mankind, a solitaire, one banished from human society. Good. But I'm not starved. And perishing on a barren place, affording no sustenance, I have food to eat. Evil, I have no clothes to cover me. Good, but I'm in a hot climate, where if I had clothes, I could hardly wear them. We know about this in Arizona. Evil, I am without any defense or means to resist any violence of man or beast. Good, but I am cast on an island where I see no wild beasts to hurt me, as I saw on the coast of Africa. And what if I'd been shipwrecked there in Africa? Evil, I have no soul to speak to or to relieve me. Good, but God wonderfully sent the ship in near enough to the shore that I have got out as many necessary things as will ever supply my wants or enable me to supply myself, even as long as I live. Emmanuel, faith, it's not a magic formula. Faith isn't some magic wand to make your problems in your life vanish away. That's not what Hebrews is talking about. Faith, rather, is a surrender. It's a trust. Surrendering to God's providences and promises. Faith, it's living a life where you're not in control, but you're in God's loving hands. You see, hope is closely tied to faith. It's hope that gives us boldness in the present to keep moving ahead into the future rather than stopping or going back to where we were. As Winston Churchill said, if you find yourself going through hell, don't stop. Hope sees God's promises, even if they're far into the distance, and it keeps moving towards them. To close, I want to share a true story. Medieval pilgrims who traveled the long road beginning in France to the Cathedral of St. James in Spain, they would constantly scan the horizon as they reached the last leg of their extended pilgrimage, hoping to see in the far distance the cathedral towers of St. James that marked their destination. The first one that would see the church steeples, could have the next slide there. The first one that would see those steeples out in the distance, there would be a tradition of something that they would yell out as soon as it would be seen. They would say, "My joy! My joy." Emmanuel, we're pilgrims on a pilgrimage. Sometimes we get homesick for our old, comfortable ways of living. We get tired. Our feet get sore. Sometimes we lose our focus. We lose our desire. We lose even our way. But we resist those urges to give up and to go back. We don't retreat. We carry on even when we're not feeling it. We keep doing it. We keep trusting. We keep faithing and believing that our feelings are going to follow. Instead of living in the past, we search for the horizon. We move forward into the future. We scan the distance for our heavenly city that God has prepared for us. And above all, Emmanuel, we look to Jesus. He's the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. He's our forerunner who leads us and carries us home. And all the while, we remain alert. We remain poised as we look ahead, ready at any moment to shout out, "My joy," when we see the city of God. Amen.